This morning's scripture reading will be found in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 5, 23, and 24. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, Nico. The 23rd verse, again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. This is a petition. This is an asking of God to search my thoughts. Now stop and think about that just for a second. Does it give you a warm, fuzzy feeling? Does it give you warmth and comfort? Or does it kind of make you a little nervous? That God knows your thoughts and your hearts. Do you want God to know your thoughts? Do you want God to know what's in your heart? Do you want God to know what you do in secret? Or would you rather that He didn't? Are we as human beings even capable of living so that we don't feel guilt when we stop and think that God knows our every thought, our every move? We're human beings. Are we even capable of not feeling that little twinge of doubt when we stop and think that God knows everything we do? When you live your daily life, when you go about doing the things you do in your daily life, do you stop and think about what God wants first? Or do you go ahead and do it and then think about what God might want later? I don't think the world as a whole knows what God wants. I don't think the world as a whole would want God knowing the thoughts of their heart. But for the first step in this, we as Christians should know what God wants from us. Should we not? Shouldn't we be aware of what God wants from us? Sixth chapter of Hebrews, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Who are those who were once enlightened? Christians, right? Those who know the Word. Those who know what God wants from us. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. The partakers of the Holy Ghost. How do we become partakers of the Holy Ghost? Through baptism, correct? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. You who have tasted of the heavenly gift. I like that. We've tasted the heavenly gift. This talks of the once enlightened who have tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost. But are we even capable of thinking about what God wants in everything we do? In my job, about 10 or 12 years ago, I had to take a test to get a certification to do my job. And I don't have to do it anymore. I do it through continuing education. But when I first started, I had to take this test. Well, we went to Madison, Wisconsin. And I was there for a week. It was called the Terbruggen Pass the NERT Course Test. Pass the NERT Test Course is what we called it. Taught by a guy named Mike Terbruggen. I still can't even pronounce his name hardly. But we went up there for a week, and we stayed in this motel and had a continental breakfast. You know, continental breakfast is pretty neat. You know, you can sleep later. You know, you don't have to worry about getting up and going down to a restaurant and having a waitress wait on your waiter and how much time it's going to take. You can just go down there, get a donut and a cup of coffee and head to the meeting. You know, our company has a policy that if you have an expense less than $25, you don't have to have a receipt. I think it's just to cut down on paperwork. Well, we make expense reports out. When we have to pay now for all that out of our own pocket, and then when we get back, we make an expense report out. The company reimburses us. And there were four of us up there, and we ate continental breakfast every day. And it came to my attention after we made this, well, at the time we were making them out, we have certain function numbers we have to use for meals and lodging and everything. I don't memorize that. One guy gets the form, and we all sit there and make the expense reports out. Came to my attention that some of those guys were putting in for breakfast. And you know how easy that almost was for me to get caught up in that? You know, I feel like I know somewhat of the Word. I don't think we're all capable of knowing every bit of it. That's the beauty of the Bible. That's why every time you read a passage and then you read it again or a chapter or something, something new comes out. You know, if we were perfectly capable of knowing everything in the Bible, I think things would be a lot different. But I should have known that. I almost got caught up at that. I thought, wait a minute. You know, I wonder how many of those guys actually knew, actually even thought, gave it a thought, how wrong it was to do that. Think about your income taxes. That gift to the Salvation Army. You betcha that was worth $500, wasn't it? That box of clothes, I go, oh yeah, easily $500. You could deduct a $500 donation without a receipt. I don't know now what it is, but you know how easy it is to say, you betcha that box of clothes is worth $500, easy. What about speeding? You know, I'm late for work today, so I'm going to get in the left lane, and I'm going to go 85 miles an hour down the interstate with all the rest of the speeders. What does the 13th chapter of Romans say? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, somebody was saying. It says to obey the law, doesn't it? Christians should obey the law. How easy is it to say, well, I'm late today, you know, and God will forgive me, I can do it just this one time. You know, a Christian should know what God wants because God knows what's in your head. Proverbs 23:7 says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. So as a man thinketh, does it say in his heart? So as a man thinketh, so is he. How you think is what you are. Psalms 44:20-21. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knoweth the secrets of the heart. You know, what we do is an outward action that can be seen. And how hard is it to do the right thing every single time? And even how harder is it to have the right thoughts every single time? Thoughts are not actions that can be seen. Thoughts happen in an instant. Anger, judgment, prejudice. Those things come up right now. Somebody cuts you off on the interstate. As if you don't realize by now, that's one of my pet peeves. How long did it take me to learn? And I still am not very good at it. But I'm better than I was. But how long did it take me to learn not to flare just the minute that happens without even thinking? How many thoughts do you have in a day? Stop and think a minute about yesterday. Take a second and think about yesterday. How many thoughts do you even remember that you had? How many thoughts did you have that you wish God didn't know? Genesis 6 and 5 said, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of every thought in his heart was only evil, what? Continuously. Every imagination of every thought in his heart was evil continuously. If you look up the Hebrew, it's day and night. Was evil day and night. Think we're that way now? Think we've evolved to where we're better? Some of these questions I'm not going to answer. Because I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know the answer. You think we're better now than they were then? You think we've, by nature, become better? Are we by nature just as bad? Are we by nature worse? Are we by nature more inclined to be self-centered? More inclined to be angered by what we don't know, don't want to hear. I'm sorry, more inclined to be angered by what we don't want to hear. Are we more inclined to be judgmental, prejudicial? Now I know there are those by nature more kind to be, more inclined to be kind and gentle, forgiving and loving than others. I tend to be the other way. I tend to have knee-jerk reactions of cynicism and judgment. And since making this talk, I think I'm going to work harder on that than I have before. But I think by nature, this is a test. What does the Scripture say about the road to heaven? Narrow, right? Narrow. What about the other road? Wide. And where does it lead? To destruction. Doesn't say that the road to pathway to heaven's wide, does it? You know, if we were all perfect, if we could do everything perfectly in the sight of God, would we even need this? Would Jesus Christ have had to die on the cross? This is a test. We're here on this earth as a test. I think we have to work at this. And as Christians, especially as Christians, we should work at this. We should work at keeping in our minds that God knows our thoughts instead of just forget about it all day long. We should work at knowing what God wants us to do instead of forgetting about it all night long. Now, what I wanted to bring out was we're going to talk about cleansing. We're going to talk about God's forgiveness. I don't want you to think that, and I mentioned that we talked about God will forgive me so I can do it just this once. I don't want you to think that you can just go out and do what you want to do because God will forgive you. Romans 6 and 1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Those are the last words in the first verse. Anybody tell me what the first two words in the second verse are? God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep on sinning because it brings out God's grace? Because it brings out God's mercy? Because it brings out God's forgiveness? Shall we continue in sin so that those attributes of God are magnified? God forbid. God forbid. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Those who know the word of God and those who do it will be saved. Because God has mercy and forgiveness and above all, love more than we can even measure with our mortal minds. We will be saved. Those who follow the word will be saved by the word, by knowing what God wants you to do and by doing it. And by the grace of God, we know that we can't earn it. But we also know that we have to do what He wants. We have to have His word in our minds, and we have to remember that God knows our thoughts and our hearts. The inspiration I got from this for this talk was an email that was sent to me, and it started out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." And I immediately thought of that song we sing. And I couldn't think of the title of it. And about an hour went by, I went to got the red book, and I looked down through the index, and I spent, I don't know how long, I couldn't find it. "Search me, O God." Couldn't think of the title. So I asked Shirley. You know, Shirley's pretty good at remembering song titles. So she stood there and thought and couldn't think of it. And she looked at me and she said, "You know who'll know that, don't you? Audrey. Audrey'll know the song title. I called you yesterday, Audrey. You weren't home. I got your answering machine. I called her. I thought, well, she's out doing. She's out making herself move. She's out doing things." Well, I had to talk to Nels on business, and at the end of the conversation, I said, "By the way, while I got you on the phone, you know that song we sing that says, 'Search me, oh God, and know my heart today'? I said, what's the title of that?" I even had Nels helping me doing this yesterday. And you know how I found it? I Googled it. And I want to tell you, when I go down to a computer and Google something, I'm desperate. I won't say how I feel about computers anymore. Anybody know what the title of the song is? "Search Me." Look in the red book and see if you can find "Search Me." Look in the blue book and see if you can find... I'm sorry. It's Cleanse Me. I was going to say, look in the red book and see if you can find a title of a song called "Cleanse Me." Look in the blue book and see if you can find the title of a song called "Search Me." Then look in the blue book and see if you can find a title of a song called "Cleanse Me." Number 393 in the blue book. Okay? 393 in the blue book. Right out of the scriptures. I love it when scripture is set to music. I think that is the neatest thing. I can't do it. I'm not capable. I wish I was, but I can't. But I really like it when scripture is set to music. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today." Right out of Psalms, right? "Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me." And then we're going to stop for a minute. Second verse, "I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill my word and make me pure within." Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. "Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name." Third verse, "Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide." Last words of the first verse, "Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." Now, you may have been sitting there thinking, well, I can't control my... This is terrible. I can't control every thought I think. I'm going to sin every day. I can't control every single thing I do. I can't stop and think of every single thing I do, whether God wants me to do it. I'm just not capable. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm probably as least capable of controlling my thoughts as anybody here. I've always wondered if I had ADD, because my mind wanders, boy. I sat here. I even asked Winford Lee one time about the Lord's table. I said, you know, it's hard for me to stop and think about that the whole time the Lord's table's going on. My mind wanders. If you can do it, more power to you. I admire you. His response was, at the time you partake of that emblem, you better be thinking about it. The point is, I don't know if there's any of you out there who are capable of concentrating fully all the time on something. If you are, more power to you. I admire you. I can't do it. my mind wanders. But what I can do is know what God wants from me. What I can do is strive for those thoughts every day that God knows what I'm thinking, that God knows what's in my heart. And God sees what I do, whether anybody else does that or not. I can strive for that. I can concentrate as much as humanly possible to think about those things. Rick Sparks mentioned, I think I mentioned this once before in here, I'm not sure, but he mentioned, says, if you find your mind wandering, think of Scripture. Memorize some Scripture. If you find your mind wandering, think of that. And I've tried that and it helps. It's good. There's a verse in the New Testament that sums up pretty much what I'm saying here as far as what we need to be thinking. Anybody know what it is? It's in Philippians. It's in Philippians. Somebody say? Philippians. Bingo. Philippians 4 and 8. Philippians 4 and 8. Some of you guys, boy, you guys are good. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. There's a good one there. Whatever things are of good report. Warren Buffett had a saying in our company. He says, stop and think about what you do. Would you, if it was published in the paper the next day, would you want your family to know? You know, that's a worldly thing, isn't it? Would it have to be published in the paper for God to know? No. God's gonna know. You know. But it's a good concept. It's a good idea. Do you want God knowing every single thing you do? Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, you think on these things. The Word of God tells you what God wants from you. Does it not? We talked in class right down the line about some of the things in Ephesians. I like the book of Ephesians. You start with the 4th chapter, the 21st verse, and there's rapid fire instruction on how to live your Christian life. And I've used that as a reference before up here. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't hold a grudge. You know? And then let all bitterness, wrath, anger, malice be taken from you. Talks about your children's obligations to their parents, parents' obligations to their children, husbands' obligations to their wives. Let no filthy communication proceed from out of your mouth. Down through verse by verse by verse. Rapid fire instruction on how you need to live your life. So how are we cleansed? How are we cleansed? By Jesus Christ's death on the cross, correct? Does not His blood that flowed from that cross cleanse us from our sins? The blood in the Old Testament of the animal sacrifices cleansed the Jews from their sins. Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross cleanses us from our sins through the washing of away by the blood that was shed on that cross. We as Christians should know that. We as Christians should know that Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. So in the book of Hebrews where it says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's what that's talking about. Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. My exhortation to you this morning is, strive as much as humanly possible to remember that God knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows your ways. He knows what you do. The more you think about that, the more you read and study, the more it'll be in your mind and the more you'll stop and think when you do something. Whether or not you can do it perfectly, I'm not going to answer. I know I can't. but I'm striving for it. I'm working at it. We all should work to have those thoughts in our minds. We all should work to know what God wants us to do. Okay? And we are cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about the need to be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. He who believeth and is baptized will be saved. Jesus Christ, that's one that's come to my knowledge recently to use, about when Jesus Christ was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We need to be baptized. I would not want to be standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ not having been baptized. I think that would be very shaky ground. So we're going to extend the gospel invitation. We can be forgiven. We're not capable of not sinning because we're human. We're not perfect. But we can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. We invite you to come forward. If you want to be baptized, become a member of the church, or if you have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.